for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord God, that you're here with us, you're among us, and we thank you for your gift of love. Holy God, speak now because we're listening. Speak a word of hope, a word of peace, a word that would sustain us, a word that will bring us through. Speak, God, for your children are listening. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. You know, we live in a world now, we live in a time, really, and I will talk about the United States of America, but we certainly do live in a time in our culture. And that culture could be worldwide or not, where humility is not a good thing to have. People don't seem to be humble anymore. Folks don't seem to have humility. Rick Warren says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. I'll just repeat it in case we think we don't want to be humble. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Because you know, when we think a lot of ourselves, we certainly can't be humble. Another writer says, a Christian reveals true humility by showing the gentleness of Christ, by being always ready to help others, by speaking kind words and performing unselfish acts, which elevate and ennoble the most sacred message that has come into our world, and that the message that the Lord brings to us. And I read in this article, Mastering the Virtue of Humility. The writer begins by asking this question. Says, what do you think of the candidates? That's what a reporter for a news magazine asked a young woman at Dartmouth University after a debate among presidential hopefuls. She didn't say a word about their positions on the issues or their skill at debate. She simply remarked, none of them seems to have any humility. Benjamin Franklin, the early American statesman, made a list of character qualities that he wanted to develop in his own life. When he mastered one virtue, he went on to the next. He did pretty well, he said, until he got to humility. Every time he thought he was making significant progress, he would be pleased with himself and he became proud. We have to watch humility. Humility is an elusive virtue. Sometimes we think because if we're humble, it means that we're less than. If a news reporter were to talk to our friends or neighbors or fellow church members and ask them to describe us, would they use the word humble to describe us? Think on it. For all of us, would they say we're humble? We would rather them probably say oftentimes that we're brilliant and we're good looking and we're in good shape, you know, all the wonderful things. And if they just said we were humble, we probably would ask, is that all you could think of? That I'm humble. And so the scripture tells us, we read in this scripture, this is an interesting scripture, because even the disciples couldn't get it about being humble. Oh, you know what? I lost my thing. Oh dear, because I was in Bible study and I took it off. And where is it? It's around my neck. Praise the Lord, it's here somewhere. Here it is. Hallelujah, it's down my clothes. Sorry about that. I didn't need it in Bible study because I was down here. And all of a sudden I hear it, but I couldn't see it.
Thank you. That's humility. Telling you don't have it together all the time. See? See how the word will speak by through the Holy Spirit? Say that I'm as confused as everybody else. And we read in the scripture, Jesus is walking with his disciples. And he's talking with them. And he's talking something specific to them. Right? He's telling them that he's going to be crucified. That's what the gospel said, right? He's telling them that the Son of Man, right? Jesus is passing through Galilee and he's trying to escape the folks. And he continues to teach his disciples and he's telling disciples that, that this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be crucified. And in spite of all of that, something serious he's telling them, they don't hear it. Have you ever been telling someone something serious about your life? And something is happening to you and they are on a completely different subject matter? Have you ever been talking to someone and it's all about them? Right? You're telling them what's happening to you, or you just lost your job, or you went to the doctor and everything turns back to them. And you're just saying, don't you hear me? Did you hear what I say? Do you know what's happening to me? And it's always all about them. No matter what you tell them, it's about them. Right? This is what was happening to the disciples. It's happened to all of us. And I'm sure we've done it. That you have to catch yourself and says, oh, I gotta listen. I'm not listening to what they're saying, right? I'm not listening to their pain. I'm not listening to whatever they're sharing with me. Listening is an art. It's a virtue to listen also. Right? To listen. So the disciples were not listening. I mean, the man says he's going to die. Whether they understood it or not, this is a big thing. He's the Messiah. He has just told them, I'm the one who came and I'm going to die. And guess what? They were not waiting for a Messiah that was going to die. Those Jewish believers were not. Those disciples were not. They were waiting for a Messiah that was going to whip the Romans, take down, Roman captivity, break it apart, and they would be conquerors. So it could be that because they didn't want to hear it, they didn't hear it. Could be, right? You don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear. You're going to leave me? I don't want to hear that. I really think you're going to stay. No matter what you tell me, right? We sometimes think we could change people. And they tell us one thing. And as Maya Angelou would say, when people show you who they are, believe it, because that's who they are. When they tell you who they are, have you ever heard that saying? And they tell you who they are, believe it, because that's who they are. But you have to be listening. You have to be listening. And sometimes we think if we don't listen and we don't take what they're saying, then we try to change them. You remember Peter tried to change Jesus. When Jesus, the week before, said, I'm going to the cross, he says, oh, no, you're not. And Jesus had to say to him, get thee behind me, Satan, because he was trying to change him. Change the plan of God. Well, these guys here were in big trouble that day because Jesus is telling them, I am going, the Son of Man is going to die. And guess what they were doing, the scripture says, friends? What were they doing? In spite of all of that, they were what? Talking about who is the greatest. Who is the greatest? You are the greater. Are you greater than me, or am I greater than you? The man has just said he's going to die. Not the text doesn't tell us that. Mark doesn't tell us. Not one of them said, well, why are you going to die? And how and when and what can I do to help? What can I do to save you from dying? They begin to ask how is, in spite of all of that, right? They begin to ask him. They begin to argue. They did not ask him a question. The scripture says they were arguing. They were together. Right? And he said to them, what are you arguing about? What are you talking about? Jesus asked them. Right? And of course, the answer was, who's the greatest? Perhaps, as one writer says, they did not want to understand. They were confused. But whatever the case is, instead of asking Jesus what was going to happen, they were talking about themselves. No humility. No humbleness is all about me. It's unfortunate, as I said earlier, that we live in a culture where it's all about it's our culture, people in our culture who are in charge now are so narcissistic that you cannot believe. You're so tired of watching the news because it's all about them. Never about anybody else. The world could be falling apart. Children could be dying. Disease could be taking over the land. But it's all about me. How it affects me. What's happening to me. How it's going to affect my pocketbook. Never about other people. Not a good quality to have. Not a virtue at all. So Jesus would reprimand them. He responded to them. If anyone desires to be first, he should be last of all and servant of all. Jesus said, if you want to be first, if you want to be the greatest, you better learn how to be humble. You better learn humility if you want to be first. Greatness on Jesus' terms means humble, lowly, and vulnerable as a child. He was going to use a child now as an example, wasn't he? He says, if you want to be first, if you want to be at the head. Later on, he's going to tell in another text, the sons of thunder, the twins, whose mother wanted them to sit on the right hand of Christ. He says, are you willing to bear the cross that I'm going to bear if you want to be as great as I am? You're willing to bear the cross. Friends, humility is a Christian quality that we should be striving for. All right? We should be servants first. Servants. And remember that it's not always about us. So Jesus tried to correct his disciples. In any culture, we see that children are the most vulnerable. So Jesus is going to use the children as an example. He says, if you are as what? If you're as loving and kind as a child, if you are as open and friendly as a child, Then you begin to learn it, right? A child has no status, no rights. A child certainly had nothing to offer anyone in terms of honor or status. And that is precisely what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us, no matter what we have achieved in the world, no matter what we have received in the world, no matter what we have attained, Jesus wants us to be humble as servants. Because Jesus is a servant leader, right? You've never gone to the hospital and see anybody sick, lying in a bed in one of those rooms, and as they walk in, they start, they're sick, they're dying, or just very sick, and they start reeling off all they have attained. If they have, you're on the psych ward, right? Because they're not well enough to understand. But most people, when you're chaplains and you walk to the room, they want a prayer. You don't even know what they do half of the time. And if the only prayer they know is the Our Father, they want you to say it with them. They want to hold their hands. They want you to bless them at that moment in time. Right? They don't reel off all the degrees they have. And so all the things that we have attained is good. It is by God's grace that we have attained it. Right? By the grace of God, there are many brilliant people who have not attained, right? You know, everything has to line up for us. Some of us have been blessed to be in good homes and good families and all of that while we're able. There's a lot of bright people who died and are in the cemetery who never walk into the fullness of their ability because they were born into the wrong family and wrong circumstance. It's our brilliant and our brains and our gift of God, and a lot of it is blessings and luck, you know, why we achieve what we achieve. So we don't want to spend all our days just rubbing it into other people. Isn't it would be wonderful if we got back to be a nation where we're this great nation in the world. We know we are. God has blessed us. Not because we're all that good, but because there's a lot of us, a lot of folks in America who have done good. And God has blessed this nation. Right? And so we have done great things through the grace of God. We've had ups and downs, but we don't have to rub it into everybody's face every other day. That's not what God expects from us. Right? God expects love, humility, caring, empathy. Whatever happened to empathy? Empathy is been taken from our culture now. People are killing people all over the place because nobody cares. Do you know how many killings there were last week in the news that we heard about? A woman in whatever that place is stabbed 3 babies. I mean, this is amazing what's that. I've never seen anything like this. It has become a culture of evil. It's taking over a church. We got to pray. We have got to pray. When the newsman was going through the news and after he gave one stabbing and the girl who was jogging who was stabbed and another person, he said, and here's a fourth one. I mean, and those are the ones we know. Right? And it's because we have lost the ability to love each other, to be humble, to say, I'm sorry, it's okay. It's okay. But those of us who know better, we have to what? We have to strive to be better. We have to strive to be better. I have noticed, I must say, that some people are really seeking to be better and trying. I was traveling the other day to San Antonio, and we were on the plane, and I was in a middle seat, and I hate middle seats, but you know, one of those things. But everybody was just trying, and this young kid next to me said, do you want me to switch seats with you? People, I could see the difference. Some people are really trying because we're on the plane together. Shut up, and we think, you know, if we're mean to each other, somebody may kill each other. Maybe all of this will bring us back to a place of humility. That we start being humble before God and realizing that we need each other to survive. Church, we have to be the leaders of that, Christian believers. We have to be the leaders of that. Greatness is not what Jesus is looking for. Great people die. Hitler is dead. Mussolini is dead. Great people die. Idi Amin is dead. They thought they were so great. But the ones we remember and talk with love and affection are those who have been humble before God, who love each other, who care about each other. And the church has to be the leader. That's what Jesus was telling the church here, so that they could understand. You see, greatness on Jesus' term is risky. He doesn't believe in people being great. He wants us to be humble. And so James tells us. James doesn't play around. James wants us to know, James says. James says here, he tells us well, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. James says, listen, here's the key. You need to be loving and kind. You need to treat each other well. And then he's going to tell us something. He says, and if we haven't struggled with that, we need to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's talking about wisdom, you know, double-mindedness, that we should draw near to God. Submit ourselves before God so we could be humble. I wish I could go up to the Congress and the Senate and that place and tell all of them that God has sent me to prophesy on them, that they should be humble and kind, all of them, and start saying kind things to each other and start being an example for the nation, for young people who are coming up in this nation who thinks it's just okay to tear down men and women and carry on. What a nation of young people we're building up. It's going to be our fault. Right? It's going to be our fault. And so let me read this one reflection as I bring it home for you here today. It says, my grandfather's last word gave Jesus the credit. And the writer says, one fall afternoon, my grandfather was at home with my grandmother and heard a knock on the door. The visitor was a neighbor lady who said to my grandfather, I was out feeding the horses, and I felt like God was prompting me to come and say thank you for the difference you have made in my life. She sat down and began to tell stories about times when my grandfather had been merciful to her as a widow and cared for the cows and the horses and done all the kinds of practical things. She thanked him for being so real. She went through this litany of good deeds, including bringing peace in relationships with some of her children. She finished with, "I just felt like God wanted me to tell you that." My grandfather paused and looked at her and said, "It was the Lord Jesus Christ who did it." There was another pause, and my grandmother struck up a conversation with this lady. A few seconds later, they heard a cough and saw my grandfather slumped over. He was with Jesus. My grandfather's last words were, "It was the Lord Jesus Christ who did it." Humility. Here was this grandfather who knew a widow woman living next to it and would be so helpful to her. And he was able to say, "The Lord Jesus Christ made him do it." Now, Christian believers, we have a great ideal, don't we? His name is Jesus. And he was so humble, he was humble unto death on a cross. And he was so humble that he would, the night before he died, he would kneel down and wash the feet of his disciples to show us what humility looks like. To wash the feet of those who were sinners, and yet he was without sin. Showing us that we can live a life of humility. Humility is noble. It is not something that we should not want, but something that we should aspire to have. That's what James is telling us. Don't be double-minded. And it doesn't matter what party we belong to. We can disagree on political issues, but we can do it with humility and kindness and love and compassion. Who says that we are going to agree? We don't even agree in our homes with our own children and our spouses. When last my daughter and I have ever agreed on anything about our life? Right? We can disagree. I say, "Do this." She says, "Well, she's doing that." And I says, "You're grown." And we move forward. And I says, "When you mess up, don't come back." And she says, "Oh, you know I'm going to mess up." I said, "Because history repeats itself." I'm just kidding. I don't say that. Because I have humility. I bite my lips. I bite my tongue until it starts to bleed. I think it. But I do not say it because I'm practicing humility. There were days when I would say it, but now I just bite my tongue till it bleeds. And then when she comes back, I want to say, "I told you so," but I'm trying to what? Humility. The Lord, I'm working on humility, right? To be humble before God, friends. You know what I mean. I know you all are laughing, but you've all done it. I know you all are saints, and I'm the only sinner here. But, you know, I get it. I know you're all saints, and I'm the only sinner, but I'm on my way to heaven with you all. See, so we have to understand that it is not easy. We saw that it was not easy for the disciples, right? So it's not easy for us to always, but it's something the Lord wants us to strive for, right? It's not easy for us. We're human beings with feelings and emotions, but there's something God wants us to strive to be humble before God, to be humble and treat our neighbors well. Treat our family well. Love each other. Show each other love. Right? Thanks be to God for a Savior who gives us that example. Amen.